Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another live broadcasting of Keeping It Real. I am your host, the Princess Karima Aziz, and I'm hosting today's show. I declare that there is no God but Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, worthy of worship, and I declare that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. I want to go ahead and get right into the show. So this, first of all, I want to say praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have been placed on this path, and that we're all here together to learn. I want to say that it has been a blessing to me truly to be on this path of learning what we're learning and sharing on this particular segment of the show. It is what I'm finding. We've been talking, for those of us that are new, we have been talking about maintaining mental health and the mental health issue that we are addressing on this show at this time is the most prevalent and the most prevalent, the least diagnosed, and the least treated. Ironically, this is ironic, and I'm going to say why it's ironic, because as it relates to the function, the executive functionings of the brain, anybody can have dysfunctions in this area of applications, if you will, anyone. And well, I'll just get it right into it. Someone asked me, how can I be so confident? How am I so sure that this is a problem with us, a huge problem in our community? I wanted to answer that. And I wanted to share and I'm gathering information and I'm researching. I'm not finding enough information that's satisfying. Meaning that it's helpful, that it's relatable to us, that it's relevant to us. And then in our culture, we don't have a place that we welcome this kind of quality control, if you will. So I want to play, what I want to do is destigmatize. Just destigmatize doing quality control of your executive functioning, and destigmatize the trigger instead of the triggers that come when we hear the word mental health maintenance. So this is what we're going to do. What I'd like to share. We're going to imagine that the brain is a computer, and in a computer, there are there's an operating system. And operating systems run many software and open many applications, and there are many functions and many desired results. Expected results, we could say, or planned results. In the operating system that does not belong, and it is there replicating or taking up space and function, we refer to those applications as viruses. In addition, if your operating system is not updated and it's running on software that's not compatible, then we're going to have some issues in expected results functioning and functions and what may have you. So the brain being likened to a computer, and we run system checks on our own computers all the time. We assess whether there are viruses. We put in malware or viralware. We do many things to protect our precious computer from influences that would have an effect on the outcome. So as it relates to executive functioning, there are many different applications that are running in this area of the brain. And this area of the brain is so reactive to experience, to stress, to internal and external stress or stimuli, that it has the ability to switch off, switch down, and shift its energy to another area of the brain. So the part of the brain that runs executive functioning smoothly and effectively will shut down if the circumstances present itself. This is normal. It's natural. It is designed, and it's in the human being's brain. It's a natural response. It's a response that the natural response that'll happen under certain circumstances, external and internal stimuli. What happens when the part of the brain responsible for executive functioning shuts down or diverts energy to another area of the brain, it's shutting down the part of the brain that has time to rest, reason, send out and some have an effect on something, and then assess that effect. Meaning, I said something. This is a simple example. For example, not meaning I'll do the lahim and the shaitan regime. For example, I said something earlier today to my mother, to my sister. I mean my daughter, and I noticed that she was that it rubbed her the wrong way. I was able to think, how could I have said that differently? Did she get what I mean? And well, you get what I'm saying. I was able to stop and see how it made her feel, respect how it made her feel, or just a response. We want to get away from putting the feelings out there until we get the program right. But you get what I'm saying. So what's another thing? I just want to make sure we get a clear visual. Problem solving. So then there's a problem, meaning that something has happened, a decision was made, an application was open, a function was sent out, and there was an issue, and things didn't happen right. So that too, that part does not have that all these areas in the brain that happen when you are resting and in thriving mode. They are not engaged when you're in survival mode. So, and I'm passionate about making sure we get this because each week I gather research, I talk to people, and I see that we don't have it. We don't have it in our vocabulary. It's not in our culture. It's not in our parenting. And I spoke, and sadly, it's not in our leadership. The assessment of executive functioning, and then to address the issues of disorders in executive functioning, specifically in our community. So, with our respect to the time of the show, that I wanted to give us just so we can be on the same page as how we're conceiving what executive function means, what executive functions are. So, if your brain is a computer, there's some applications that are opened when you're in a place in a space where you can and you have the privilege to think and reflect. Those places do not open or not. In any of their result applications or functions, forgive me if I'm not using the words verbiage correctly, but I want us to understand. Anything that results in that, you don't have access to do. Anything you don't have access to because it shuts down. So that area is shut down. You'll get an error message if you try to do applications in that area. And this is the time where people recognize that, oh, there's something the matter when you try to do something that your brain is not accustomed to doing in that area, maybe some atrophy or whatever. So now let's go back to the I'm going to share with you, share a story, an experience last week with the audience. We buried two young men today, yesterday. We buried two young men yesterday, 19 years old. They didn't make it to 20. There were 19 black young men. And I shared from what I'm learning about executive functioning, and this is how we're familiar with ADHD, and I don't want to use that term, but basically what it is an issue of executive functioning. I want us to know, to be familiar with what the issue, the ground issue is, and not the term that people are applying that's fairly new. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not satisfied with the term ADHD, because the information about ADHD only goes back to the early 1900s. And this has been a part of mankind's existence since he has been a man. He has always been given the task of being responsible and accountable for doing quality control of his own mind. To go to the reference that speaks to the seriousness of maintaining proper executive functioning. Many of us are very familiar with the story of Adam and Eve as it is written in the Bible. I'll be real quick. I might talk fast. because I want to get through it. Many of us, and I am too, was of the thought that Adam represented the man of the human being and Eve represented the female of the human being. Well, I'm not going to speak from that area. I have been given permission and direction and encouragement from Quran to look at the multitude, look at things in allegory. So in this, from here, we're going to look at Adam as the calculated thinking part of the human being, and we're going to look at Eve as the emotional, spiritual part, if you will. So there are two parts. That doesn't fit. There are many dualities in this story of Adam and Eve, but okay. There's a calculated part that's executing right now, and then you've got the part that the part where they're on the subconscious part where the creativity comes, that part is engaged when you are doing quality control, when quality control is done. Also, this is the part where the foundation of everything you do is. What you see out front of you is what's going on behind the scenes. So the out front, we're going to call that Adam, and the part that's behind the scenes that you don't see, we're going to call that Eve. So work with me on that. Stay with me on that. So at the point where we're familiar with the story where man writes that Eve was, she was, what's the word? Let's just go to the word. She was tricked by the serpent, if you will. And we have been led to believe that the serpent is a snake. I'm not going to disagree. I want you to see something, if you will. And it's mind-blowing for me, and it's not a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. I keep finding the same information I keep finding more and more information even in Quran and in the Bible that points to this, correcting me on thinking that the serpent is a snake, a slithering snake that exists outside of my body or outside of the human being. When you cut the human being in half down the middle of their face, and then you look, open those halves up, and you look at the brain, there's a part of your brain that looks like the head of a snake, and then his tail runs down your spine. In this area of the brain is where executive functioning happens, and they go on in this area. I want to get into all the technical part, but this part about the serpent deceiving Eve, that's the place where malfunctions and executive functionings will occur. Programs will be running that you're not aware of, that you haven't assessed, and you haven't thought on how productive they are. Bear in mind that in this story, man writes that God has given Adam and Eve the assignment of being fruitful and multiplying. So in this same analogy, the fruit is not an actual fruit off a tree. The fruit that you are in this analogy, the fruit speaks of actions from the thoughts. The fruit speaks from manifestations from the embedded thoughts. And the fall referred to the fall of man I want us to see that this happens and can happen and still happening in the individual today. Your fall is directly related to how well you execute executive functioning. And I don't see a coincidence. There are no coincidences in this story. And in fact, it's enlightening, because now I have a place and a space and the tools to be more accountable, if you will. So getting back to the young man that we buried yesterday. Let me think if I've given the where we are. Adam being the front that you see, the part that you see, and Eve being the part that you don't see. And this is to bring us all together as one in our own and getting the message from the scripture as it relates to everyone, not just the men. The men represent, we're not going to go there, but everyone. So I have an Adam, I have an Eve, and they have functioning. And so if Eve is not operating properly, she can corrupt Adam's expression, and she can corrupt, and she can bring my world down. Does that make sense, if you will? I just want to know. And so before getting on to what I was going to talk about, as it relates to the men, we have a caller, and I do like to respect my callers because I appreciate what you all have to share. We're right at 321. So we're going to go ahead and take a caller. 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. You tell the audience who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your keep it real comment.
Alaikum assalam. With God's peace be with you. And Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. And again, I really appreciate the subject matter that you're engaging in. I'm just going to be brief with this thought. I've had this thought for a number of years. I'm 75, and when I was much younger, I thought about the Bible because from the time I was 8 years old, and I actually was sent to the Catholic Church, and by my mother. My mother didn't attend church. My grandmother did, and there were times when she took me to Catholic Church services, but they were somewhat rare. A deep interest, so much so that I would invite members of my apartment building to go to church with me. But I began to reach a point after being taught in what's called catechism classes, which was learning about the church and the rituals and so forth. I began to see, you know, in the history of the church, problems that were that disturbed my soul. And when I hit puberty, because they were trying to interest me in becoming a priest, but when I hit puberty, that show went out the window. But lastly, my point is that scripture to me, and when I came into the logic of the Nation of Islam and later the leadership of Imam Muhammad, I began to see the problem with the Holy Bible in terms of an invitation to goodness and heaven, but a dual invitation that would invite to problematic issues that kind of put my spirit in hell. And one was this idea of being born in sin. Other, much later with Imam Muhammad's leadership, the woman being the accomplice of the devil. And there are other problematic issues. There were other issues that were very problematic for me, even though I trusted the idea or the concept that the Imam had that the Bible in its base is guidance from God, but he explained how the Bible was constructed in the Nicene Council and so forth, but that there were righteous men there to make sure that the help of God remained in the scripture, even though the scriptures were selected and presented in a way that could be problematic, you know. So So I'm going to stop there. I appreciate you engaging in it. Lastly, a lot of mental, no, I'm going to say a lot of spiritual disturbing ideas in terms of the way it's presented, you know, account for, in my opinion, emotional and mental problems of those that are reading the Holy Bible without the, what Timothy says, without the discernment. Timothy, 2 Timothy talks about to rightly divide the word of truth, and that can't be done without a lot. Thank you.
I thank you for sharing that, Brother Michael. I mean, from Jacksonville, Florida, I get that a lot. I understand the response that we have with using this book as a resource. I don't know how. It's a problem. Even today, I had a conversation with someone over Facebook, because when the misconceptions, the problem is, we bring the misconceptions that we have from the misunderstanding and the misteachings of the Bible into our understandings of Quran. We think there's information in your brain that was planted there, programmed there. There are processes that are still running as you try to learn to be a better Muslim. So my passion is to go and what is it? Delete those, remove them, and to erase them or update the operating system. For example, when you come and you read in Islam certain things that make you uncomfortable about the man doing this to the woman or the woman being under the man, your idea of what the woman and the man is probably rooted in your misteaching about who Adam and Eve is. If you still believe, and that's okay, because growth, Allah put the truth of his word in a way that you will discover it only through personal relationship with him. It's not superficial. If you're teaching the word superficially, then you haven't even scratched the surface. And then you can read one sentence in Quran, and that sentence will tell truth about the atom, the electron, all the way out to the truth about galaxies and universes. That is how amazing his word is. So we want to unlock prejudices that hold us from running up-to-date programs. Up-to-date programs compatible with the operating system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And so I'm recognizing that there are some programs we didn't know were put there, but we're responsible to remove, to check, and to update. And that's one of the things that I see, that we miss the meaning of, we miss a lot of meaning. It's okay to think Adam is a man and Eve is a woman. It's okay. I'm not alone, and I'm not any man. However, I love you, my sister and my brother, as I love myself, as I'm learning to love myself, and as I'm recognizing what true love is. True love is nothing that I can get from another human being. True love is something that is activated in you. It's a program in you that's activated through your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you are free from looking for an expression of that program in somebody else. That's one of the that's just one of the blessings that I've received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness to that. I didn't know. I was misled. I didn't live in a cave. I presume that many of us were misled. We're still using a language that's tethering us to our own understanding of what it means, of what the word means. So I will share this. I've learned to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show me. Two words. Show me, Allah. What does that mean? Guys, when we say we know what something is, then that system isn't getting assessed. That part of your thinking isn't getting checked. It's not getting you're not going there and seeing if everything is all right. So I'm gonna, with all due respect, I see two hands up, but I do want to get this story out. We talked last week about my nephew, his cousin, and another cousin having an accident. They were running from the police, and they were hit. They were running at such a speed that when they got hit, the car almost looked like it just incinerated into dust, if you will. Cousin, my nephew was killed instantly, dead on the scene. His cousin died later at the hospital. The driver ran, but that's neither here nor there. Now, because I know my nephew, and I'm now doing the research and studying and therapy. Because I'm looking. So I'm doing the research and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying these symptoms of malfunctioning in his part, in the part of his brain that carries out executive functioning, he has all of the symptoms. And that is not a coincidence. And I'm speaking so passionately about this because yesterday there was a call check. I got a call check from a leader in my community. They called and they check on me because, you know, I'm a traveling sister. I could be in any part of the world. So where are you? We're giving you salams, and that was great. Alhamdulillah. I told them about, you know, what was going on with me, getting the duas and so forth and so on. And so I took a moment, a teachable moment, to share with him, you know, what we're doing on the show and what I'm sharing. And I'm also getting an assessment of what he's thinking about quality control, updating, processing, all of that I want to see. So I share with him, you know, what I just shared with you guys. And I said, well, there was no compassion because he was a criminal. My nephew's a criminal. And, you know, to hell with him, he gets what he deserves. That's what he gets. That's not going to help us as leaders and as parents. That's not going to help. In fact, it's detrimental. It's detrimental because it carries an energy that's going to keep that part of our brain shut down. The energy that's put out by that thought pattern. He says to me, he says to me his opinion about the character of my ill nephew, because we don't think they're ill. We think they're misfits and they need more discipline. Ironically, more discipline is the opposite. Okay, no, that's wrong. What we think of discipline is not what they need. More discipline is what they need. They need the system upgraded. Their operating system needs updating. There's something that's not functioning well. There may even be a virus there. We need to remove it so he can function properly. His brain can function properly. He can make moral decisions. That part of your brain is not operating effectively. Moral decisions. So you have that energy that would be put into moral decisions, that would be put into thinking, planning, setting goals, producing. That path is not afforded to a person who's directing their energy in the mind energy or circuitry toward surviving. And the body, Allah designed it that way, that you shut down the energy going here and you send it there because you have a feeling that you are in danger. What is the product of living in a place of constant stress and constant fear? How does that look on our children? How does that express itself on our children, our young men? They're not misfits. They need updates in their operating system. Before I go, I'm going to share this, and I'm going to get the next two callers I see on the board. So then when I share with him, I said, well, my nephew and I suspect the other people were suffering from undiagnosed and untreated ADHD. That's the term they're familiar with. His immediate response, his immediate, was, that's not an excuse. He said, no, it's not. That's the problem I want to correct. It is the reason why back to the brain being a computer. That is the output of the program running at that time. That's the output of the applications that are open. That is the output of functionings that are going on. He doesn't exhibit the functioning of morality. He can't be, they're not making, these are, it's not just my nephew. And I'm compassionate about this because I got a son that's growing right now. He's a 18-month-old. He's going to get exposure to that same bad programming as a black little man in training. I don't want to miss opportunities to assess operating systems. I don't want to miss an opportunity to teach him how to assess the efficacy of his operating system. And I want to give him the place and the space to figure it all out. I don't want to. I don't want my discipline to keep him surviving. I don't want to shock him into shutting down the thinking part of his brain. And that's what I think our current form of discipline is doing sometimes, a lot of, if you will. I'm going to stop right there and take a caller because I really appreciate you all. Assalamu alaikum. We're going to take 727. Let me open the door. 727-741. Thank you so very much. What's your keeping word comment today?
Thank you. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And praise be to Almighty God. I'm thankful this needs to be a continuous think tank process. And what you're drafting, I was going to share about my coming up as well, but I'll divert and go over to just as you're speaking, my nephew who's 51, at 16, he went into jail because being killed, and he served 35 years, just got out in January. And his brother's son, just 2-3 days ago, but just on what you're saying, he went and 18 years old and took a gun, robbing somebody for a chain around the neck. And he shot the person, but he didn't intend to kill. So he's in that process now. So I'm often saying, well, initially when you were saying about the Adam and the Eve, praise be to Allah, I allowed myself to empty out and share that with my children and grandchildren, how to think on that process in that way, as it being the thinker and the information coming before it comes out and into an action as being the Eve and how it can be influenced. But on beyond that is where we are right now. We can't second guess ourselves, but we have to strategize a way of having community and family-oriented presentations, some kind of a way, whether it's in the street, whether it's in a center, but we have to take that responsibility and share just what you said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless it to soak into whoever hears it, mind, and they began to function in a way that's better and maybe take it and continue it on. But we can't wait for an opportune time. We just have to coordinate it, facilitate it, and make help orientate people to this particular thinking that will elevate, inshallah, our community. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much, sis. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Martha Nolan, for saying that. And that's why I'm passionate about what I'm doing right now, what we're doing right now, because she said we can't wait. We got to do it right now. But the thing is, the doing it right now has to start with you. You got to do it right now with you. You got to update your own operating system. Check the things you think about every day, checking your thoughts. Checking the negative and the positive. Have the time. Follow them to their root, to the feeling, to the root. The negative. Like, I'll say this. There's a negative thought that was. These are Muslims that are sharing their thoughts, these thoughts with me, on a public platform. So there's so many. I'm trying to hone in on one. Say, for example, we've experienced this where someone would say, oh, I don't know how, or that person is a bad Muslim, or they're not as pious. We might not say it, but this is what we're thinking. She's not wearing her hijab. He's smoking. So these are negative thoughts. Now, here's the thing that's tricky about that thought. It's a program that's sitting in a spot of your brain that operates executive functions. And it is blocking a function that's essential for you. I want you to get that. You thinking what you think about another person hurts your brain. It doesn't hurt the other person. You might be right to the left, right to the right, right to the up, whatever they consider what flavor and degree of what they call self-righteousness is. But the issue, the problem at the core is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a misapplication. Self-righteousness is a dysfunction. It is, when we're thinking about the brain as a supercomputer, you can't afford to look at someone and judge them because your brain does not consider you separate from the people you judge. So getting back to the place where we are doing something about this at the core, first we're going to work on ourselves so we can present ourselves holy. I see the next caller. I'm going to get to the next caller, inshallah. Thank you for your patience. But I'm passionate about us undoing or pulling up, digging up those places that hold on to misinformation for us. And we don't know them until we do until Adam is leading. We let him lead. Stop and think. Take the time to think. Let your Adam lead your Eve. She can't lead. Not without Adam. And here's the thing. There ain't no Adam without Eve. That's like having software without the hardware. How is the computer going to run if it doesn't have the hardware, which is the brain we see, and the software? That consciousness that we cannot conceive, I mean, that we cannot grab physically. The two are the same, are not the same. The two are required for the function to go. You need the hardware of the computer, and you need the operating system for functions to happen. We're going to take 727-408. Thank you so much for your patience.
This is Bilal. Praise be to Allah. This is kind of rough. Look, I'm have to do it like this. Okay, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna set something up, and I want you to take a look at it and tell me something.
Okay,
in 19 AD, here we go. ADHD, right? Now here we go. A clinical psychologist, right? A principal, one that is basically look at black and not in white in no kind of positive, you know, arena, right? Now here we go. He said that in 19 it was you call it ADD something else, right? It wasn't the H there, right? And the hyper came in. So he said that in 1985. He say that they begin to crack in the Latino and the black community, okay? And it was crack of cocaine, so it makes a person hyper, okay? So they say what happened, they changed it to ADHD, okay? Because they say, and then at that point they begin to give the children, our children who they say is overactive, they begin to give them Ritalin, okay? And he said this is a second class drug. And I said, okay, well, my mind clicked, yeah, but I knew about Ritalin because me and a partner of mine we used to shoot Ritalin up. And so they give that to our children. Okay, now yeah. I put that out there, right? So I don't have what I was saying, no good respect for his knowledge, right? I don't have a good respect or proper respect for Western psychology, but I have what I have for it. Now, here I go. I've been listening to you talk, right? And I say, wow. I say, I want the sister to get away from from psychology that much, or therapy to a certain point, right? I want her to get away from that.
I ain't gonna do it.
So I can,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's
so
my
I said, because I want to understand. Yeah, I said, because I want to understand her, and I'm really not understanding her. So then Michael came on, right? And because Michael and I, when he related Imam Walter D. Muhammad, he said, all right, I'm on board. I got it, okay? Now here I go. So this is a poem I wrote, right? And I said, maybe this might do something. Here we go. A growth process.
Well, here's the thing, brother. I got 15 minutes.
Like
my show is only 2 hours. I don't want to cut you off.
I'm sorry.
But there's more information that I wanted to share. And
go ahead.
So if this is thing,
no,
you can go ahead and hear it. Oh, okay. If you, I just wanted to, I don't want to cut you off, but if it's a short form, let's go ahead and hear
it.
We appreciate your expression.
Yeah. Great. No. I want you to tell, because I want to understand so I can get it, because I want to be able to relate to you comfortably, you know. So go ahead. I want to hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. All right. So what I'm going to, okay. So, alhamdulillah, I appreciate you sharing what you're sharing, and I'll tell you why. I see your hand, but I'm going to share. 19, you're right, the time, you know, that you speak of. My niece was 3 years old. She ran from here to there and everywhere. She could not sit down. She could not, you know. And it ran my sister and myself crazy and her husband crazy. And so we came to find out, well, she learned that there was some under activity in a certain area of her brain that was responsible for impulse control that is under the umbrella of these executive functions. So I stay away from using the term ADHD and ADD. I stay away from that because the history, the information only goes back to 1902. I swear to you that this has been a human issue ever since the existence of mankind. It is not new to the Western civilization. It is not new to mankind. It cannot be. Dysfunctions in the area of your brain that are responsible for executive decisions and carrying out, this is where you find yourself in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can't get away from it. If we're going to do the work that we are, I can't get away from it, because this is another of the multitude of the unseen. Can you see your consciousness? Can you mail it to somebody else? Can it sit on a couch? Can you dress it? And can you see it? But it has existence, and it has structure, and it has function, and it is real. And we can assess its function or dysfunction based on how it is expressed through the atom of the person. So we see in my nephew, let me get to the point I was going to. Much to our not understanding, her mother didn't know. I didn't know. Grandmother didn't know, neither did dad, that she did need Ritalin to help her control or to activate that area of her brain so that she could have habits, because that kind of person whose brain operates that way need to establish habits. We're habit-forming people. But the Ritalin, I had no respect for it. I didn't trust it. It was new to the game. I didn't. But I do now. And I have to. And my niece who here's the thing. This information or this knowledge is being updated all the time, because when she was diagnosed and my niece is 30, so it was 7 years ago, their understanding was that children grow out of this, which is a misconception. Their also understanding was that it was a childhood disease. Well, I maintain to you that they have always known that this is a disorder that is familiar, which means if your child got it, you need to look at the parents, because it's environmental, it's energetic. They can't find the actual gene, but the energy, they know that it's familiar. So if you know that it's familiar, my question is, why aren't you treating the parents? At some point, it's hard to update the operating system. They're like, let's get to the kids. Let's fix the kids. But the parents are not aware that they too need to update their operating system. They too aren't functioning effectively in their executive processes. And we recognize it when we see the children doing things that are immoral. But I say to you, your executive functioning, that's the most significant part of your brain. We don't have time to go into that, and I don't have a board. This is the thing that you would have if I could show you visually. And the parallels in the way your brain is structured and how it functions, there is no coincidence in those parallels in Allah's teaching and what Allah teaches us about our consciousness. He doesn't leave out psychology. In fact, he leads us with the psychology. He leads us in the unseen aspects of our mind. So we owe it to ourselves to figure out how our minds are designed to work and then to do proper assessments to see if they're functioning properly. Now I'm going to activate the scientist in me. As a quality control technician, technologist or whatever, microbiologist, I can't, each day I go in to do quality control, I test the instrument or the test that I use to do quality control. So I'm always testing the test before I test the things that need to be tested. You have to. What I'm saying is we can't take for granted that we're not out of spec, that the system is running smoothly. We can't take for granted. It's our responsibility and we are accountable. And we owe it to our children to present to them the best version of ourselves. And here's another thing. We don't have, I wanted to share this. If we can look at the brain and respect the fact that it is much like a supercomputer, so then look at how a computer operates to understand how your brain operates. We're given this direction in Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells us in Quran to do this. I'm not doing anything Allah did not guide me to do, and I thank him for putting me on this path. And I've had the same apprehensions that the brother has had as well. They're not ready for this. I'm afraid I can't do it. And whatever, I will say this, if none of this is of me, I didn't get it. I didn't get it on my own. I got this through walking, looking, searching and asking, show me the way, show me what this means. And I'll tell you this, even to the point of showing me what a man is, showing me what do you mean by what a woman is? Because I don't trust any other programs that came into my unconsciousness before I was aware. So now I'm asking for the definitions and the functions of everything, because I now don't trust anything. I was programmed to run on an anxious energy. I was programmed to shortcut thinking, because thinking is time that the corporations of America cannot afford for us to have, because it doesn't increase their bottom line. But that's not their problem. It's an our issue. We are responsible for updating and assessing our own minds, and we have Quran to do that. But the reason why I use the Bible, because I'm given permission to, number one, and number two, because we have programs, applications from misunderstanding from this word that are being used in our study of Quran. And we're coming up with error messages. We're still not unlocking or opening fully those and restoring the circuitry to the part of the brain that's responsible for executive functioning. And I'm speaking to the individual, because Allah speaks to the individual first. Leadership begins with you first, begins with me first. Okay. I want to spend time on the individual and a lot of time on the individual before I leave my house and say, what do you want me to do for my community out here? Because I recognize that I can't give them the best if I am not operating the best. And I can't operate the best if I don't do an assessment in line with my walk with Allah through his word, walking. Meaning I give you, I don't know anything. Tell me everything. my God. Yeah, I don't know anything. So it's 3:55. I apologize. We've run out of time today. I am considering to increase the show to its normal 2-hour slot because we will need time. This is we're going to need more time to do this. So inshallah, be looking out for me to schedule or when I do accept the full the responsibility of airing and sharing and caring for 2 hours for the sake of getting more information in. And I'm going to find a way to get the visuals out because it blew my mind open to see that this is inside of me. So if this is all inside of me and my mind, the serpent in me, the Eve in me, the Adam in me, those things are in me. And they're part of something significant. And if I get the misunderstanding, if I'm operating as if Adam is the male of the human being and Eve is the female of the human being, can you see why we get to the point where there's an argument about women being subdued and being submissive? But if you look at on the parallel of calculated critical thinking versus emotions, they're married together. They should have a harmonious relationship. But what if your emotions are out of order? Yes, the Eve, your wife, that's the wife of you, should be following the critical thinking with the husband of you. Then you don't need to worry about subduing or oppressing female part of the human being. I'll take 334-419, last call of the night. Thank you all so much. And do stay tuned. Don't go away. We're going to listen to Michael Amin again with the and Imam Kareem speak on Imam W.D. Muhammad. So last few minutes to Michael Amin. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to share with the audience that Not Just Talk program that I host on Thursdays at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, will be having host Lou Princess Aziz on our program from time to time because I see that we need more of what you're sharing. I hope you'll be able to join us next Thursday, if not the following Thursday. But we've got intentions to have you on a regular basis because of the particular focus that you have in your programming.
Alhamdulillah. That gave me chills. And I'll tell you why, because I've been walking. I'm one of those who woke up and say, I'm trying to run a program and I'm coming up with an error message. And this is my exposure to Allah, and I'm saying, and I'm making du'as, and I'm receiving, I'm seeing the greatness that Allah put in me. But there's something that's stopping me for executing. You don't see me going out. You're never going to see the difficulties that I'm having. Well, some of us may see that, but anyway, I know that I'm not doing. I know that I could do better, which is what caused me to look for what was the issue. And find that it's an electrical issue and an electrical part of my being that it's been running a program. We have been programmed. We have to be deprogrammed. We have to take those programs. We have to upgrade the operating system. We have to update the virusware. And we have to. We got to update, and we got some things, and a lot of things we're going to have to just let go of. What is it when someone tells you that you two are Adam and Eve? What is it about your mind that, I don't even want to know why you can't accept that. I'm just going to say, ask Allah to show you. If something comes to you, you don't understand, resist the urge to run this I Know What You're Talking About program and run the program that says, or open the application that says, Allah, show me. And I'm going to leave you with that. Allah, show me. Something so simple as, what is water? I thought water was the thing I drink and quench my thirst. Oh, no, no, no. That's not all water is. And that's not all water. That's not all Allah says means when he talks about water. So the man is not the man and the woman is not the woman. We are. There's no separation between me and you. And when we get there, we'll be walking and we'll be able to fix this thing. and we're going to fix it. Only one person at a time, one brain at a time. We're at 4 o'clock. I'm going to have to get out the host seat because another host is coming in, and we're going to continue on with sharing, and we're going to be, continue on. Continue to tune in with us every Sunday as we learn. We're going to be updating our operating system. And as Michael has invited me, I accept the love invitation to talk more on a different platform. I accept. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all again. Do great this week. How about that?
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful to be present this evening for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, and we salute our sister that just left the air with Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it. Praise be to Almighty God for her and her excellent program. But at this time, we are transitioning to the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. Let me begin with Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that nothing is worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. I welcome you today with America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And as I stated earlier, this is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad. Myself, I am Kareem Hamid, and I co-host with our beloved brother Michael Hamid and Mohsen Abdul Salam. I greet you both with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Greetings to you, Kareem, and Brother Michael.
Alhamdulillah. We want to this evening share with you a part of a Ramadan session that the Imam Muhammad hosted in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was March the 12th, 1993. I want to begin this where we left off last Sunday, inshallah, that I shall back up slightly so that there is a smooth transition from last week into this week. You know, Allah tells us that man plans, but Allah has already planned. Allah says to us that when they meet in the secret plots, that is the oppressor of human beings, when they meet in the secret council, secret plots, that Allah is present. Allah hears them. Also, Almighty God has let us know that Allah obligates himself. He obligates himself to come to the aid of those that are terribly oppressed. Allah has already planned, and Allah is present. He hears their plots, and that he obligates himself to come to the aid of those that are terribly oppressed. It is within that light that I want to share with you the statements of Imam Muhammad from out of this Ramadan session, and connect my previous statements to a nation of Islam, the world community of Islam in the West, praise be to Allah, and our present association, that we are the culmination of Almighty God intervening in our affairs, intervening in our lives. And I want to share with you from this Ramadan session the statements of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, to me, that lends itself to the previous statements that I just made, that Allah injects himself in the lives of people that have been terribly oppressed, and that Allah hears the plotting of those who plot, and that Allah has already planned. Allah has already planned for in the circumstance of that situation. I want to share with you now the words of Imam Muhammad from out of this Ramadan session. This subject matter is titled The Good Before Islam or The Good Now. Michael and Mahasan, I'm reading from page 92 from out of the Volume 1 of the Ramadan session. So here is the Imam's statement on the good before Islam or the good now. And it reads, so I'm hearing some background noise. I don't want to mute you. If I have to, let me know, or, you know, and I will graciously graciously mute you so that there is no background interruption on this very valuable dissertation that we are sharing at this time. The heading statement is The Good Before Islam or The Good Now. So I'm not saying I'm Christ Jesus, but when you look at my life, I was under circumstances like the paganism of Arabia, wasn't I? Here I am, given a concept of Islam, like the paganism of Arabia, and then Allah blessed me to come out of that. When you look at my life back there, and I'm not the only one, Prophet Muhammad said, and those of you who had good character before, you have good character now. Imam Muhammad says, not only me, but you too. You were back there too, under the paganism of the Temple of Islam, but you had good character back then, and you have good character now. And I was back there, and I had good character then and have good character now. I think I do. I hear other opinions from relatives and other relatives. They believe in me because they can't see the guidance that's in the Quran. They actually believe in me. They're not believing in the Quran, and they accept the Quran because they believe in me. Like I said, even the worst ones in my family, brothers and sisters, if I rise up against them, they back down. When they see anger in me, they back down. It's not because they fear me personally. They fear Allah. I'm pretty dreadful. By myself as a mortal, I'm pretty dreadful. I told them, I said, well, you might win the first battle, but it won't be the last one. And if I'm left alive, when I was younger, I didn't think they could win the first battle. I'd like to conclude that by saying this, Messiah or the Mahdi, we should accept a person to come. And claim such titles or expect that people address him as such. We shouldn't expect that, because if he's really blessed with that, then he doesn't want to be called that, because he knows that's just a language put there to let people identify with the behavior and the type person that will come that Allah loves and favors with guidance. This person is no more than, and all of us are capable of inspiration, of being guided. So this is just an ordinary person, not a prophet. Jibril, nobody else came to him. His circumstances favored him coming into that. The circumstances of his life, his birth, favored him coming into what he came into, because he came that way into it in a very unique or special way. For him, the positive influences for that particular development was unusual, out of the ordinary. So because of that, he is stronger in that particular role than the average one that comes with the decline of Islam. He's strong in that role because of those stronger circumstances, the stronger happenings of those circumstances. And anyone with the knowledge of the Sunnah of God, the Sunnah of Allah, wouldn't they expect that a people who have come through what we have come through, and then a child who came through what I came through, they should expect that child would be an unusual person? And if that child is devoted to religion, they should expect that child would have unusual attributes. They should expect that coming from that oppressed people and then being given a religion there was nothing but oppression too, in the name of Islam, it was oppression. Next subject matter is the worst form of oppression. For our understanding, the religion that Farrar gave us was oppression. It was oppression. Full moon. Full moon is oppression. Not only darkness, but full moon is oppressive. And shirk is full moon atheen. Shirk is the worst form of oppression, a mighty powerful form of oppression. So if I'm blessed to come through that now, I am an African-American. I am the son of a former slave, one of the members of the rejected people in the society of the whites. Now, I come under religion that is oppression in the name of another religion. That is just the extreme end of this idea. Now, I come through all that and embrace Islam. that should be read as not an ordinary happening. When I managed to get the people that followed my father with that old idea to stay with me and to support me, that was no ordinary happening, and that was beyond my doing. The next subject matter, worshiping broad secretly. I couldn't prepare you all. You were prepared by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So what in the world happened in you? What happened in you all, orientation, to make you so easily, to make you so easily come with me from one extreme to this extreme, the work of God? They drew lots to see who would take care of her. The imam is my commentary here. He is speaking of the great lady Maryam, the mother of Jesus the Christ. They drew lots as to who would care for her. Okay, so that is just the extreme end of this idea. Now, I come through all that and embrace this line. That should be read as not an ordinary happening. Then I managed to get the people that followed my father with that old idea to stay with me and to support me. That was no ordinary happening, and that was beyond my doing. Worshiping Farad secretly. I couldn't prepare you all. You were prepared by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So what in the world happened in you all to make you so easily come with me from one extreme to this extreme, the work of God? They drew lots to see who would take care of her, speaking of Mary. And it so happened that Zechariah was chosen. Zechariah comes there and says, look, there is nothing for me to do. Every time I come to her to do something, it's already done. Farad said, oops, I missed that time. That's jabber, drawing lots. Speaking of the imam's brother, that's jabber, throwing lots. And here's the warning for that kind of thing. A quote from the Quran, and they prayed for a son. And when Allah blessed them with a son, they give others credit. So I have among my supports those who want to give Farad credit, saying he's more than an ordinary man. If he's not God, Jabber said, he's an angel. That's what Jabber told me. I agree. He's not God. He's an angel. Jabber, he didn't answer me. And secretly, he worships that angel and has got a whole other plan for us. And going crazy because he can't realize, can't produce, can't get progress for it. My poor brother, I feel so sorry for him. I believe this. I find it in Quran that Allah will allow anybody to use his name and form an idea and a way of life for people. And those people come under that idea and way of life. Allah is not going to leave that alone. He's obligated. If somebody would start something in any of you all's name and bring a lot of people to be influenced by that, wouldn't you be determined to correct that? Farad didn't have to be anything but a man. Angry with the white world. but having knowledge of the secret of the religious language. And he comes in here and does his thing. But now you've done your thing in God's name, and you brought innocent people under it. So God now is obligated. And God planned way before man planned. I'm serious. God planned that he be named Elijah Poole, and his wife too. The imam is referring to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad. My commentary here. Remember, I said earlier, they planned, but Allah has already planned. So, all right, the imam addresses God's plan that he named Elijah Poole and his wife to be Clara. It is not an accident that Elijah's name was Elijah Poole, my father. God's plan was that his name be Elijah Poole. Elijah in the Bible is a figure that was devoted so strongly to God, he challenged the world. And he was a man that dealt with the two extremes of human passion, water and fire. He had skills in the use of both, but he did nothing in his own name. My father was like that, not a prophet. I know that. And he was wrong. I know that. But in that particular focus there, he was the type of man. He was that type of man. He was giving us the water of sentiments for the black man, of wrath on the white man. And he brings those two elements together, man, and he could set the altar of fire. After a while, the whole place is burning. I'm going to consume this sacrifice with fire. He was a bad man now, a powerful man in his spirit. And it's no accident that my mother was named Clara Evans. Clara, you trace it. It's related to clairvoyant. You get a man powerful with passions for serving God. And now you've got a womb that indicates clarity and psychic ability together, and you've got a powerful combination. The child might be clairvoyant and also powerful, might come with the passion of his father and the psychic ability of his mother. I see someone has raised their hand. I'm going to pause now and answer this raised hand. Air code 727408. Please state your name and where you are calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm from Tampa, Florida now. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you to Allah for this program. It's something that came to my mind about taking in information, because what you were saying about, I remember last week, about Jaffa and the fact that he had people that we'll give certain, you know, we'll separate, we'll say we'll Farad Muhammad, you know, and we'll give some of what Allah had given us, and we'll give it to somebody else. So unknowingly, that can be occurring, and I realize when we're really struggling to solve an issue that we're trying to, you know, be dealing with. So let me see. I want to say a poem, and I hope I can kind of like get some. Here we go. Allegory. Somebody else's story. They have given us a lot of problems. Can we really trust them? Here we go. A growth process need to achieve an individual having what is necessary to establish peace. Our social needs are slowly being met. God is helping us to pass the serious test. How is this being done? let's start moving away from non-productive activities and fun. Brain power, suddenly working for many hours, scholars, improving on what we get. What Imam gave us, we have an obligation to improve on it because this is our inheritance. Knowing the real reason for being on this earth, accepting the reality of keeping God first. Embrace the need for sincerity and you will achieve prosperity. Contributing to the progress in America, growing and utilizing our intelligentsia. Help each other to grow and prosper. Stop focusing so much and living in an hour tower. Our leaders must know that in the world. Okay, here we go. Our leaders must know the history of this world diversity. They'll keep us wrapped up in a lot of mumble jumble and mystery. Establish a strong relationship with our Creator. Become your own savior. Stop denying his favors. Be the best community. Improve the life of the individual. Show the person how to benefit from his own potential. A balanced life that is rational. Let's hold our leaders responsible. Address the person problem. This will benefit our community and them. And the them I'm talking about is the leader. So praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you for your contributions and your encouraging words. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Is there anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the reading brought to my mind the governor here in Florida, in arrogance, in my opinion, arrogantly talking about the skills that were developed under slavery, saying that, look, we did your ancestors a favor because they have marketable skills. But it's like, we were in the darkest days of slavery. Allah was attending to our needs. And it wasn't slavery because Frederick Douglass identifies the chattel slavery and what came after as behavior that would shame a nation of savages. But there was no shame there. But I believe there's shame now because the beneficiaries of chattel slavery, they don't want to bring up, in my opinion, that savage behavior put before their children and the world. They don't want to bring it up. So you hear these narratives about, slavery being a process that was done by the Arabs. It's always been slavery of some sort. But what they try to hide is the fact that chattel slavery was the worst form of slavery because of the emptying out of the slaves who were stolen from Africa. The slaves were emptied out where they could not even identify with Africa, and even to this day, there's some problematic issues around that. So it was, and there's a small book called After Difficulty, Pain and Suffering, Commentary on Pain and Suffering, and how the chattel slavery experience was always under
the control of Almighty God. And that process produced in the African-American people a group that would be of benefit to the entire humanity because of the special gifts that Almighty God put in us because of that experience. So lastly, we as a group in modern terms, we have more education, we have more material wealth, potential, and actual terms. We have more than any other group on the African continent or other places where they call the diaspora. So I'll stop there, amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael, for your valuable contribution. Then let me say this. The only reason that we are able to enunciate ourselves like this, the only reason that we are able to speak at such a high level of intelligence and understanding is because God intervened in our lives. Those of us from out of a nation of Islam and are still with this association, you have to bear witness that we didn't have this type of heart and mind that we have now.
That's right.
It is a fact that God intervened in our lives, and we have to know that and bear witness to that and celebrate the gifts that he shared with us.
One final point, because the imam is speaking to the environment that created him, his father and his disposition, his mother and her disposition. But along with that, many people, even members of the Nation of Islam, are not aware that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought in teachers to teach the Holy Quran in the Arabic, and Imam Muhammad was one of those students that was taught, connected with the Quran, being taught on a regular basis to read the Quran in its Arabia Fusa language. And
I'd like to add to that only occurred because it was Allah's will.
Absolutely.
That it was Allah's will through, and that Farad Muhammad did not leave a region of the earth to come to the Nation of Islam. He didn't leave another region of the earth. He was not even aware of. There was no Nation of Islam. He wasn't aware of Elijah. What prompted him was the terrible condition that he saw and witnessed the African-American people in. And in my position, that Allah used him as a vessel,
absolutely,
as a vessel to intervene into our lives and introduce us to the original language of the Quran. I don't want to make this small. This is not small. This is the creator of the heaven and earth that intervened into the suffering of African-American people in this country. Allah planned it. So let us keep hold to the value, the magnitude of what has occurred, that this is the creator. He is orchestrating and moving among us. That is the point that is being made from this earlier reading. That's the point I want to really emphasize, that we are very grateful that Almighty God intervened in our lives. So that's, you know, now the imam, he even goes further he references his father's connection, as I said. Farrar didn't know an Elijah Poole. He didn't know an Elijah Muhammad. But Allah made the connections for us and for him. I want to share with you now the Imam's statement on God's plan. God's plan. Wa alaikum as-salam. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Fine. I was struggling to get in. I think I had some technology connection problems. But before you go on to continue, I wanted to share something that was stimulated in the reading you've just done from the beginning as an optimum position. You know, sometimes we mistakenly perceive the intervention of the Almighty or the higher power more on a reaction level. In other words, something has to happen or go wrong in order to evidence an opportunity to go right or to intervene. And what I'm learning, as Michael was emphasizing the impact of the study of Arabic and the Fusha or the purification of that language, the reality, the interpretive power that it gives you when you study it, is you begin to grammatically understand the position of time and events and cause and effect, right? So if we think of Allah as he presents himself as the creator from the beginning, no contextual relationship to any of the universe, that's quite a concept to imagine, since we have been indoctrinated with this anthropomorphized concept of God, that relegating God to a convertible human status, right? The issue of falsehood in religion when it comes to characterizing Jesus as God, and the controversy that went back and forth, misunderstanding, but that the concept of God has no relationship with creation. He is the originator of all creation. That means that he represents an entity that is outside, has no causal relationship with creation. He's different, right? And so when I think of that in reflecting on his plan, Allah's plan is not a reactionary plan. It's not like,
yeah,
well, I got to wait.
You're right.
Okay. So that's where I'm picking up. I'm saying that word already is very significant, because it means that Allah's plan is a predecessor. It came before anything else happened.
That's right.
It's a system that the Creator's intentional mind planned in terms of optioning what he wanted to create. I say he, but you know how I'm using that. So it's not in any way an entity. He is not Allah. God is not an entity that we have anything to compare with. Nothing. No comparison that we can strive to make will bring us anywhere near a likeness of him. There's nothing. Okay, but that's a freeing sense, because we are material beings having a spiritual elevated experience with the one who created us and purposed us in this lifestyle. And so combating any threats to our operation and existence is no problem for him because he's higher, omniscient, you know, omnipotent. He has more power than anything that could see itself as posing a threat. No possibilities for that. And so in slavery, and I'll try to end it up like this. I liked what Brother Michael was saying about the chattel slavery, is that there's a bigger plan that all of this conniving, because there is one who was created with the purpose of worshiping God, honoring his creator, but was made of a substance that where he thinks he has options. The jinn thinks he has options. He can go against it. But it's such a beautiful comfort for us, for the believer, to know it doesn't matter what options the opposition may think it has. It has nothing, no power, nothing that can interfere with the systemic, the greater system of plan of creation. And that we are promised is going to be, when it reaches its evolutionary destiny, it's going to be so beautiful. We will be astounded. So I will stop right there for now. You know, there are a lot of things happening in the scientific world that would portend to that, but I'll get into that later. Inshallah. Thank you, yes, Brother Kareem, so much.
Yeah, thank you, and I want to lend the value of Imam Muhammad saying to us that nothing was more significant that occurred in this country than the formation of the Nation of Islam.
Correct. Yes.
And
absolutely.
And also thinking men are amazed at the transition seamlessly to a ideology that went counter to what we had become used to and dedicated ourselves to. These are miracles in our lifetime. I have another caller on the line that I want to open up his mic, if he would. Truly look forward to sharing
bring
more.
Me back. If you can bring me back when he's done, there's something I'd like to add, okay? But please, go ahead. Open his mic.
Okay. Let me state this. Sharing what the Imam is saying to us, it lights our brain up. You know what I'm saying? Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. So I'll definitely bring you back after we hear from Muhammad, from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, utilizing Columbus, Georgia. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad, if you would.
Wa alaykum as-salam, and thank you very much, and we thank Allah much for permitting us to discuss what is clear. We already know that Allah has told us in the Quran that if you show up with any other idea, way, concept, other than al-Islam, I'm letting you know ahead of time it will be rejected. Tusha was saying, Allah has already, and like you were saying in the beginning, he has already gave us our plan. We even knew about it, a lot of us, before we even had a chance to read the Quran. We knew that we were going to the afterlife. We going to another reality. We already knew also that we came down here to give another creation called Satan the opportunity to prove himself alive. And we also know his destiny, et cetera, et cetera. Shaitan can only call us back from where Imam Muhammad left us. Imam Muhammad is only trying to tell us that you are free now. to follow the two things that Allah SWT has given you that are sure, without a doubt. Don't use me. Don't use what I said or anything else, because I just gave you the evolution of the schemes of the shaitan, how he works in human beings who are vulnerable and have doubt, and what is already clear for them. There's only one God, and all the prophets and messengers of God were his servants. Prophet Isa, not Jesus Christ, made it clear that the one come after him will make us all free. And Imam was a product of that. Like Brother Hamid said, the Quran was read to him. The Hadith was read to him. He knew that his job was to get us back. Since we have this opportunity, the ex-slaves in America who came as a servant from Allah SWT for this plan that Allah had. One of the things we should never, ever forget, that Allah is coming due to the prayers of the Islamic slaves that came here. He answered their dua. He promised them that he would come and get them. And all of those who he had sent them amongst them for a reason, to give them a chance to understand better than what history had already gave them and distorted them by the whispers of the shaitan and calling them back to tribalism and all kinds of other different things, have another opportunity to be free. Because we don't know how close it is. But we do know that we are a new people who's on the path of establishing the final community of life on this earth by those who, with their free will, choose to obey Allah and not obey the shaitan or their own vain soul. It's always easy for us to stay straight, because it's always been straight. Just like you said, it ain't on the curve. Nobody can change this. All you can do is use your free will to stay in the footsteps of the human example that you have and follow Allah's guidance, not Prophet Muhammad's guidance, not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's guidance, not Imam Warf Muhammad's guidance, but follow Allah's guidance. And be thankful for he has given you a guide in your own creation. Now, all the other stuff is the way Shaitan keeps us divided. Do you know if we sat out here and looked out at the heavens and we took our time and they said, well, that's Earth, that's Mars, that's Jupiter, that's Shaitan's way of keeping us at a pace that continues to give him to distract us in the beauty of this wonderful reality that Allah has given him and all of us. But he's trying to prove to us, not to Allah, Allah already knows. He's trying to prove to us that he is more in charge and more deserving of the honor that we got and the destiny that we got, because we are on our way to be, inshallah, so it seems. Allah said that you're getting ready to go somewhere where all you hear all day long is the glorification of my greatness. You will have the best of your creative reality, material, spiritual, intellectual, and it'd be all in a world of what you now know that you're seeking for is peace. This is not no, like you say, no, you don't take a brain surgery to stay focused. Take discipline.
Praise be
to Allah. It takes sincerity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Thank you, Muhammad.
Okay.
You know,
let
me say this. The purpose of this section of broadcasting here on America Muslim 360 is to share with the listening audience the contemplations, the connection with Scripture, and the thinking and the logic of our beloved Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad. And we are only able to speak like this if we tell the truth. He educated us. It was in Allah's plan. All of you are correct. It was in Allah's plan. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Muhammad. Let me open up the line of Mahasin once more, and I hope that we can return back to the words and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad. Take your phone off of mute, if you would, please. Okay. Maybe she stepped away from the phone. But I shall return back to the Ramadan session and what Imam Muhammad shared with us come out of this Ramadan session. The next subject matter that the Imam will share with us is the word pool, pool. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his name prior to becoming Elijah Muhammad was Elijah Poole. And his wife's name was Clara Evans. Imam Muhammad is sharing with us the significance of those two names. He says here,
Imam,
that it's no accident that my mother was named Clara Evans. Clara, you trace it. It's related to clairvoyant. You get a man powerful with passion for serving God, and now you've got a womb that indicates clarity and psychic ability. You put those two together, and you've got a powerful combination. The child might be clairvoyant and also powerful. Might come with the passions of his father and the psychic ability of his mother. The Imam addresses the word pool, P-O-O-L-E, and in parenthesis, the common spelling of pool, P-O-O-L. He says pool suggests water. And Elijah pool, pool suggests water. Water, if it does not have an outlet in a small body, too, with no outlet, the only way it can move is the sun has got to move it up, or somebody's got to come and get a bucket of it. A grandmother named Marie and a father named William Poole, his father, my grandfather, those people were close in my life. Now, my mother, her father, and mother, they weren't in my life. I came to know them, not my mother's mother. She passed without me knowing her. But I came to know my mother's father, my grandfather, who was Quartus Evans. But I don't see them very significant because they weren't touching upon my life. However, I do consider my grandfather, William Poole, and grandmother, Maria, or Marie, called Mariah, too. The Muslims address my grandfather as father and address my grandmother as Mother Marie. So it shows you that they wanted that family as a prophetic family. Yes, or they wouldn't have done that. It looks like I had a lot of my relatives named John, Johnny, and John. It is Yahya. And Yahya is inspiration. But it's not just inspiration. It's life-based and life-giving form. High life. Standing, highlight. It's all significant. The signs of God. So thing that happened here is no small thing. As I told you all, there are times in my life, if I didn't know the guidance, seeing the guidance, I would have thought I was a prophet. I would. And when I think of our people, don't think we can separate from what has happened to our people. no more than Moses and the followers of Moses can separate themselves from their people. All their people weren't with Moses, but they're all put together, aren't they? That's because the circumstances for that happening must be seen in the full picture. This was the picture of the African-American people when fraud came, right? There was no family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, no temple of Islam. It was just the African-American people. So he came because he saw the African-American people, and then he came to set something up to motivate the African-American people, to motivate them out of their circumstances to better circumstances. The next heading, and then a stranger.
Before you go to that, I think we need to take a public service announcement.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you. I get so wrapped up here. I want to thank you. We shall pause now for some important public service announcements, and I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. We'll be back, inshallah, after this.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nikhil Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
And we are back. This is the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, hosted by Michael Hameen, Mahasan Abdul Salam, and yours truly, Kareem Hameed. I see Martha has raised her hand prior to us returning back to the reading. I think this might be her. I'm not sure. I'm going to open up the mic of 727-408. That's what I'm going to
Walaikum assalam. This is Bilal. I want to say something real fast. The Imam Abdul Aziz Kawi, he did the Juma Friday with the Tampa Bay American Muslim Association. And I think it was either doing Juma or the after talk that he had. And Imam, and the brother said that yes. He said what DeSantis said. He said what he said, he could see that as being a benefit, you know, and because of the position that we're in now. And I heard him. And I heard him, I said, that brother's in trouble. Then I thought about it. I said, hold on 1 minute. I told him, I'm not trying to be funny, but I do know one thing. I don't want to be a Caucasian. Excuse me, brother. I said, I don't want to be a Caucasian at this day and time. But listen, look, I'm listening to Michael, Michael, he brings the circumstances about it and that condition that what Imam Muhammad said. And then I think Brother Ali, he brought Allah's will and plan for man. And then Bahasa brought so much stuff. I said, look at here, look. The earth, the creation is in the uproar. And we are growing. And let me tell you something. Ashura, it's a serious, very serious day. So much happened. But I'm going to tell you, this Sunday after Ashura, this Sunday, brother, something else. I never experienced what I experienced. You know, I'm a... and one more thing, then we get on. Michael, on your program, I want you to have that program. And look, anatomy is not the best reality. The intellect is best, and Allah is in charge. And praise be to Allah. I'm full. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Bilal. Okay. I want to share with you now some statements in regards to my earlier statement about how the significance of what has happened. The Imam addresses this topic. It is, and then a stranger came. Imam Muhammad says, so how can we now, after becoming what we are, how can we see our development separate from the context of the African-American people? If we were like the old people and want to write our history, how can we start our history before starting with the Negro African-Americans in this country? Start our history there. Imagine if we didn't know the guidance of God and the life of the prophet and the Quran. If we didn't know this and this had happened to us and we came to this conclusion that God did this, how are we going to write this and leave this with our generation without starting first with we in Africa? And the world got all broken up, powers fighting for dominance in the Western world. Europeans, England, went over into Africa, the land of our parents, and kidnapped slaves and brought them back to America, put us in the worst form of slavery that ever was known in the history of man, took away from us every connection to our past. And then a stranger came along, and he had knowledge of certain developments in our life and history, where certain ones of us had already started to move, to believe that God had something special for us. We even had leaders that claimed they were godly and divine, Father divine, and different ones. They were trying different organizations, different kinds of movements in Christianity, forming their own Christianity.
We had it picking me up.
And finally, one came, and it looked like he borrowed from them and borrowed from others, and he put something together. And he gave it a man named Elijah Poole. And his name was changed to Elijah Muhammad. And he talked about how he came into the family and how he was left with these people. Finally, he got the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam established this belief that was in obvious contradictions to what was real in Islam, at the far end of the pole from what was really Islam. It was resembling, in its God concept, Christianity, something else, more than it was resembling Islam. Then then it also condemned white people as the people charged with the bad circumstances. They identified them as devil, inherently evil, and go on and tell the whole story and talk of how Farad established himself as a person, as the Christ, the Mahdi, who came to save the black man. He left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as his supreme minister and later established that he was the messenger of Allah. That's how we have to tell that story. We begin in Africa and these bad circumstances we fell in. These circumstances we fell in invited these people to start taking the spirit, the soul of the black man in another direction. And if we wrote that history, believe me, we would have people of different races later saying that Elijah was a prophet and a mysterious man came to him and inspired him and gave him the idea. And Elijah was a prophet and his son inherited the prophethood and he guided the people. That's what they would say. The only one that would stop them from doing that is me, that I'm guided. So I'm establishing what is the truth and making it almost impossible for anybody to twist it or to make Elijah Muhammad a prophet or make me a prophet. If they do, they go against me. But that's the only thing that's saving me. The next subject matter, Farrakhan will come back if he could have a little big title. Now, we're speaking into 19, yeah, this is the Imam giving a Ramadan session in 1996 in Little Rock, Arkansas. The next subject matter that he is presenting is heading here. Farrakhan would come back if he could have a big title. And believe me, I know I could have had a much bigger following of our people if I had used that. Instead of coming the way I came, people, human beings, they are selfish and they follow something much quicker if it's glorifying them. You say, no, we're just the followers of Prophet Muhammad. Then that takes something away. They'd rather you say, no, you are the real one. And Prophet Muhammad is the lesser one that came before you, the real Islam. Now, you've got it? That's what they want, you see? Then we have a whole lot of people. Then we would have a whole lot of people. Farrakhan would even come back if he could still have a big title under the prophet, under the messenger. But now, he would have to come here a regular old soldier, just like all other soldiers. The great temptation is the immediate reward you get if you please the people. But the real reward you get if you're faithful to God, and I have to appreciate you all very much too, because you go along with me and make the same sacrifices. You may even get much more money. You know how to get money. Lie and get some money. You are not an ordinary people either. Now the Imam is quoting from the Quran. Well, the heading is Quran 91, Surah As-Sam. Surah As-Sam. And the Imam's commentary on that is, now, let's take each one by one. The first verse is the sun. By the sun and its glorious splendor. But duha means the brightness of the day. And the duha is understood to be when the sun appears the brightest, when the light appears brightest outside between the rising of the sun and the moon. And it appears to be brightest because it's shining either at your back or on your face or your side. It depends upon your position. But if you're looking at the direction of its rising, the sun is shining in your face. Dua, a time of Eid prayer, the next subject matter that Imam is discussing. Duha, time of Eid prayer. It is that time when the sun is shining above you, but still shining at you, appearing to be shining at you. It's not overhead. In fact, it's the time for the Eid prayer. And the symbol used as the sun in connection with the soul, it's obvious that that is all addressing the soul, isn't it? That ayah is addressing the soul. So the shams of the soul, would it be its taqwa, or would it be fujur? Now, there are those who translate it from Arabic into English, and the Saudis and others, they say this is fujura, the fujuraha in its sense. They have this fujur like it is in sin or corruption, and the taqwa is purity. Next subject, man not born in sin. I'm convinced fujuraha is not saying it's sin. We see the caution that wants progress in the world as being impure in the beginning. So we accept that the fujur of our soul is given to the world and to errors before its awakening and enlightenment. But when you look at the word fujur and fajr, they have the same root. So if fujur and fajr have the same root, then how come it can't be accepted? Then that the fujur of some individuals will not necessarily have to be corrupt or sinful. If we believe what they're saying to us, then we believe as the Christians believe that man is born in sin. That's the difference. If we are going to translate it, that the soul here have its tendency to corruption. I don't care if they say tendency to corrupt. If they are saying the soul has a tendency to be corrupt at birth, then they are saying the same thing that the Christians are saying. Man is born in sin. Alhamdulillah. My statement is here. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Yeah, I have read that, my commentary. They have, in their commentary, they have wrote the fujur is prone to sin. It's prone to sin. Well, that is the same statement that the unlearned Christians say, that the sin is, that the soul is sinful. The fujur in its original state is pure. It is sinless. It is not corrupt. When it's in the state that Allah created it, my commentary on that. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Where are you at on the board? I'm looking for you. I'm
leaving that up to you two technologists to get it right.
I see you now. If you would, Mahasan, I'm going to put you on mute. Press one on your phone, and that will give me a clear indication where you are. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I don't see her. There she is. Alhamdulillah.
In the host group. Now it's muted again, though.
All right. We see you now, my husband, on the studio board. If you would, please.
Okay.
Mahasan?
Yes. Is my mic on?
Okay. Yes. You're being heard.
You can hear me. Okay. Thank you. It's so interesting what you just read, because I was going through some research yesterday on YouTube and came across an interview, the advertisement for which was show-stopping. The different people coming on giving testimony about a presentation by Dr. Jeremy Griffith, and their website is called humancondition.com. And if you Google that, it will bring up this jaw-dropping, they characterize it as, history. And whatever it is that they are prone or inclined to study, because they are definitely following and trying to find a place of entry for themselves, their group, their scientific group, in the language of Quran. And I remember that Allah said, invited them in the Quran, he said, you know, they kept ridiculing the prophet in those days, Jahiliyyah days, that this is just something that you conjured up. You're like a magician, right? And the prophet kept trying to tell them, explain to them what revelation really is and how it comes. They didn't want to hear that, right? So then Allah did the revelation. He said, those of you who are doubters, he said, pull all your people together and you all sit down. And if you think that this is not a divine rendering, the Quran in the revelation purpose that it has, then you try to come up. You all get together and try to come up with a surah like it or better, right? So far, since 14, the time of the prophet receiving this revelation, nobody's been able to do it. But that doesn't mean nobody is still trying to do it. So if you Google that, it will really open our eyes. They're being very transparent about the fact that they're still trying to find where they fit in the corrective of revelation of Quran in relationship to their former beliefs. Very interesting how they have debunked their own theory they used to be captured by about the original sin. They call it the original sin. We call it the original nature of, that God created, because that's what Allah said. It's the fitra nature. And it's a nature where there is no sin. Man can't be guilty of something he didn't do before or accused of doing before his existence, before his creation. That doesn't make any real sense. But Darwin took a look at it, and he formulated as some distinction between the animal nature, instinctive natures, as opposed to the fitra nature of the human being. It was totally, totally different. But he likened it again, said everybody came from apes. Okay? But if you look at that, you will be so shocked that they have taken up Allah's challenge for them and are working on it. And I'm sure some of them are sincere, those who are participating in this research and development. And, you know, Allah, he says, action is but by intention. You know, whatever you intend, Allah can see it. He knows that you can't hide your intentions from him. And that's what you will be evaluated upon, the sincerity or the truth of your intentions. So it's a wonderful thing to look at and perceive and see how they're following, trying to find their place now that, as you were saying before, Brother Imam Kareem,
that Allah has caused us to succeed. The people who were least thought of as having the opportunity to succeed in advance in a natural way. Nobody, everybody doubted it. Everybody, those who chose, worked against it. But Allah has prevailed. And he told us, he said, leave the prevailing of Al-Islam. He said to the believers, to me, don't stress. Don't worry about it. Allah is like saying, and I hate to use this common term, but I got this. I've been had this. It's going to come out exactly as I have written in the Qadr, right? Okay. So, alhamdulillah, let me stop right there so we can get on with the reading. Beautiful.
Okay. Imam.
Yes, thank you.
Imam, we have a caller in the queue, I wanted to quickly say every time I hear that rendering of the Quran, I think about not just the writing something comparable to the Quran, but we need to look at the effect that the Quran ayats have had on civilization, even to the point where one who was an enemy to the Muslims, his family became Muslims. And that's what's striking to me, the power of the word of God's word in the Quran to change whole societies.
Thank you, Michael. Also, the many layers of understanding from one ayat, when
Absolutely.
You think you have reached the essence, oh, look further. Oh, there's more, and there's more, and there's more. Praise be to Allah. I want to open up the mic of air code 972467. Welcome to the Contemplations of the Imam Barkhi Muhammad. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Thanks for opening my phone. It's from Family, Dallas, Texas. Quickly.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Alaykum as-salam. Just quickly about Fujur, and it took me some time to really, I think, get to understand it. And when I look at it's the term Fujur, it looks like our rational nature, our intellect, as we were talking about. I see why people can translate it as evil, but to me that's like saying a child is evil for doing the same thing you've told them not to do. And it's really just a desire to have an understanding. They're not doing it with intentions of being, quote unquote, bad. And we know for sure it can, quote unquote, become evil if you're persistent and you're stubborn after you've gained knowledge. And we know man has a natural inclination just to want to know, but he's subject to be deceived. And I think that's where our problem comes in. If once we have knowledge, but we continue on the wrong path, then you've intended to be wrong. And then you can go even further where you're not even bothered by being wrong. You just enjoy being wrong, and that fujur can turn with heedlessness. And I think that's the difference in the understanding of it. And I just want to add that. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Thank you to Allah. You know, it's like Allah has blessed the human being with energy. With energy. And have given us a free will as to how we spend that energy. The energy itself is good, but how we spend it can be in a wrong way. So that's how I see that it is originally created pure, but how you utilize it can corrupt it. That's with anything. Yeah. No doubt about that. Fire is good, but it has many benefits. And see how man has used it. Mm-hmm. The fire is still good,
the a fire in its original state is still good. It does what fire does. But how man utilizes it and corrupts the usage, of it. Yes, sir. Go ahead, if you will, please.
Yeah, I oftentimes I look at the language, the lettering connecting with light. And in the early dawning of the light, things are not readily seen clearly. And as the light progresses, that which was not clearly defined or seen becomes clearer. And I've experienced that where I thought an object in the distance was one thing. But as the light grew and I stood there watching this object and looking at the surroundings, as the light grew, I saw it was not what I perceived it to be originally. And that's the way I look at it for Jure, you know, a gradual coming into a clearer vision or perception. Now, I'll stop there.
I think that, if I can interject, I think that that's a beautiful analogy to share, Brother Michael. It reminds me of the song that was popular, "I Can See Clearly Now the Rain Is Gone."
Absolutely, yes.
I can see all the obstacles that were in my way. And ultimately, the chorus said it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. And that. That's what we're looking at when we celebrate the Eid. The symbolic impression of Eid is it's a recurring happiness because of what we've accomplished. We met the deed, especially the Eid al-Adha. It's different from what leads up to that than what leads up to the Eid al-Fitr in Ramadan. So you feel it's a greater Eid, right? And so the time that it occurs, or we celebrated the duha time, the mid-morning when the sun is risen to a clarifying level, is such happiness. I know spiritually there's no happiness like the happiness that you feel on the Eid, during the Eid prayer and the Eid. So there's nothing like it in terms of comparison and the social energizing that happens in the ummah. It's worth every sacrifice and every test and challenge
you bring to my mind, Mahasan, that there's an exaggerated spirit in the environment, happiness. And happiness has been said to be an individual situation, but fulfillment is something that's connected with a greater degree of happiness because of effort, you know. And we in the Eid, we're celebrating the effort to be fulfilled, and that bringing about happiness.
Beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, let me share with you now the Imam's statement on potential for harm and good. I think this takes us further into the concept that we're discussing at this time, the fujur. The Imam states, "Bahira and Shar are not the same as this concept. It means there is a potential, not for sin. Sar doesn't mean sin. Sar means harm. This applies not only to flesh life. This sar applies to all created things. In everything, there is a potential for harm and good." So this is the Qadr of God. We believe that the Qadr is good, and Sharihi, the high, it possesses. Sharihai, the Atai, the high, is possessive. So the Thutter, where is what it means, high? What is possessing this good? The Kara, the potential itself. A lot of them wouldn't agree that we use the word potential for want of a better word. I don't know of a better word or potential to translate the good that is realized or is found is in the potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's sorry high. But by implication, that's why these concepts, when they're not explained, we have to understand there are implications with them. The implication is, it's the law of God. The law of God rewards and punishes you. If you respect it, it rewards you. If you don't respect it, it punishes you. If you respect it, you get the good. He intends for you higher. If you don't respect it, you get the harm of that thing.
Alhamdulillah.
Next subject. As I said previously, Allah has clocked within the creation actions and consequences. Actions and consequences. What can come from good but good? What comes from bad but bad? Allah has clocked that into the very creation itself, especially our lives. We may do a harm, and it can be unintentionally or intentionally. You shall receive the consequences of that act. And that's why Allah says, you punish yourself with your own hands.
Yes.
Allah does not punish you. You punish yourself with your own actions, your own hands, your own thinking. You receive the consequences of that errant behavior or thought or whatever. I'll stop right there. There's much to be said on consequences, but I'll stop right there. Yaqub believed to be the God of his time. In our circle of the past, the Nation of Islam, thinkers among us believe that actually Allah created the devil. Yaqub did it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Yaqub was the God of his time, you see, which suggests to me that Yaqub eclipsed Allah. Allah, on his own, decided to allow the devil to be made, and Yaqub was the one that came out, and his birth was predicted. He was called the God of his time from the time he is born to the end of the white man's civilization. Allah allows it. And why did he make a devil? To prove that Allah is all wise, that he could create evil to last for 6,000 years and destroy it in the twinkling of an eye. Is that the teaching or not? That's something.
Yes. Can I interject this? Because there's two words here that really trigger a connection between what we're experiencing currently in civilization's decline. And it seems particularly connected when you read Allah on his own decided to allow the devil to be made. And Yaqub was the one that came out, and his birth was predicted. So we have much tension being given today in the process of coming out. It's associated with many things, but most familiarly with the coming out of gender specification, gender quote-unquote choices or behaviors that decree or come against the original created gender, that coming out. So we see that in the same perspective that Imam Muhammad talked about the likeness of Yaqub. And it wasn't many people that faces tested because they perceived it as a failing of the Almighty, as a defect that though God is characteristically called by his attribute, the Almighty, he had God suffered an oops, and something that he didn't intend or plan happened anyway. Sense? No. When you think about it and examine it beneath the surface using your intellect, your rationality, the perception of what is significantly scientific, what the data, the evidence the data produces, it doesn't make sense to accept that quote-unquote accidental event. Allah says he created everything Muslim, and the only thing that changes that is the influences that they are nurtured by or the environment that they evolve through. I'll stop right there.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, I'll move forward. The good that is realized or is found is in the potential, right? That's why it's sorry happy. But by implication, that's why these concepts, if they're not explained, we have to understand there are implications with them. The implication is, it's the law of God. The law of God rewards and punishes you. If you respect it, it rewards you. If you don't respect it, it punishes you. If you respect it, you get the good. He intends for you higher. If you don't respect it, you get the harm of that thing. In our circle of the past, the Nation of Islam, thinkers among us believe that actually Allah created the devil. Yaqub did it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said Yaqub was the god of his time, you see, which suggests to me that Yaqub eclipsed Allah. Allah, on his own, decided to allow the devil to be made. And Yaqub was the one that came out, and his birth was predicted. He was called the god of his time from the time he is born to end the white man's civilization. This is dogma from out of the theology of the Nation of Islam that the man is sharing with us. Yeah, okay. So Allah allows it, and why did he make the devil? To prove that Allah is all wise, that he could create evil to last for 6,000 years and destroy it in the twinkling of an eye. Is that the teaching or not? If we believe that the soul is created by God with no susceptibility because of the law of God, what is his qadr based upon? Qadr is the universe. Is the universe guilty of sin? Is the earth animals, guilty of sin? No. That's the nature given to them by God. And they are better in their behavior than human beings on the whole. Animals haven't disobeyed God like we have, or have not created the evils on earth like we have. Actually, their behavior on a whole, not in their behavior in our exceptional model. So we can't say they've sinned. We don't say the earth sinned. We don't say animals sinned. Man sins. Now, when we're talking about the cadre of man, what meaning does it have? For animals, it has no meaning. It only has its meaning because man is a free thinker, a rational being. That's the only place it has meaning.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. The Imam mentions the intent coming up next, but I wanted to put a great emphasis on intentions. All matters are judged by intention. Animals only follow the nature that Allah placed within them. Yes. But man has the ability to think beyond his nature. Man has the free will, and he can form the intent to do a wrong or do a harm. Animals do not have the power of free will in that respect. Praise be to Allah. So, in the Qadr universe.
Amen.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Would you like to take the last, public service?
Okay, thank you. I get so caught up here. Thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
I asked you, don't touch that dial. We're back in a while, and I see you 727-408. I will open your mic after these important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Al-Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we are back. I'm going to open up the line of 727-401. I see you have your hand raised. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, as-salamu alaykum. I've been wanting to say this for a minute. Look, if we want to solve divorce, accept that actions are judged by intention, and we'll get the justice in our inside our marriage situation. Listen to them.
You are breaking up, my brother.
Okay. I would listen to the program, Action of Judge by There's No Compulsion in Religion. And he had Sufran, Abu Sufran, he's coming in, Prophet Muhammad, and they're about to come into Mecca, and they was cooking some bread. So he was telling about, say, yeah, well, I don't think Muhammad is going to do nothing because, you know, they're having a meal and everything going to be all right. So he said he coming to the camp, and he had some kind of condition that he wanted to deal with. So now this program, how they had it. So you had Khalid and you had Bilal. Khalid and Wiley, you had Bilal sitting there, and I imagine he was talking on security, or they were talking with Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. And so he sat down in the middle of them. And so he starts saying something. Khalid said, "You got in life of that time, so you got nerves enough. You who try to kill Muhammad as you did, and you coming here with some kind of condition, because they ain't had nothing to bargain with them more." And so Bilal said, "Remember, there's no compulsion in religion." Now, I remember, I'm hoping I'm doing this right, that for Muhammad to say that the believers do not feel compelled to serve Allah. And so they say it's another way to look at it, but I think he say that that's the best way to really look at that. So, you know, so praise be to Allah. And I will have the book next week, and I'm looking forward to it. I will have that when I see y'all, inshallah, come on next Sunday, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Bilal. Praise be to Allah. You know, you mentioned intent. The next statement of our beloved Imam, he's sharing that Adam slipped, and no intent to do wrong. Imam says, now, when Adam was tricked in his intellect, in his reasoning, did Allah say Adam was sinful? No. Adam is used to correct the idea that man is born in sin. Allah says no. He had no intention to do wrong. He slipped. Then a word came to him from his Lord to prove that he had good intentions. He repented, and Allah accepted it from him. So where was the sin in his soul? He had no sin in his soul. The human susceptibility in his intellect is what made or gave. Where was the sin in his soul? He had no sin in his soul. The human susceptibility in his intellect is what gave Satan
into
him. There wasn't anything wrong with Adam's soul. It was his intellect. It wasn't strong enough to deal with the suggestions of Satan. That's why even the Bible's report doesn't want to blame Adam's soul. The woman took it and put it in the man. No, there isn't anything wrong with the woman either. They were just susceptible. Their intellects hadn't yet been formed to evolve to deal with Satan. He came into them through the door of their innocence. They actually thought they were pleasing God. When the Satan put it in them, they wanted to get close to God. Satan promised them, this is the way to get close to God. This is the way God hears you. Now, this is the Christian report. The Bible reports that he said to them, the way to get close to him is to eat this fruit, and then you become like God. He came to them through their weakness for God. So I can accept this bajuraha, the way they translate it. Now, it says from the Quran, and its inspiration as to its right and its wrong. So you see, it's saying there is wrong in fujuraha, right? Taqwa has to be developed. You know, lending to the commentary that Michael that he shared with us, that you can look at an object from a distance, and it looks like one thing. But the more you get closer to it, the more knowledge you get, the more knowledge you get. Adam was in his infancy. His intellect had not grown to the capacity to handle the invitation of Satan. It had not grown. He was in the far distance, and he could not discern what Satan was introducing him to. Okay. Taqwa has to be... Yes, ma'am.
I just want to add on to what you were saying, confirming the truth of what you're saying. In the experience of childbirth, when the baby is born, it has discrepancies in its vision. Its vision is not developed. So we mostly experience a baby whose eyes are closed, right? Because it's only with the facility of light that the vision takes on a sharpness and can even discern the difference in colors and shape, but it requires illumination. The womb is dark. The eyes are closed because in the darkness there is no need to see, because nothing without the agency of light will show up. So when the baby comes out and begins to have to deal with the light, sometimes that's why the baby wails and cries, because it's so much stimulation to their physical senses that it's threatening. If the baby is put near the mother's breast so he can nuzzle it and eat and satisfy and exercise his sucking capacity, right? But what we don't know is the distance between the mother's face and where the baby is laying, connecting with her breast, is the actual scientific facility that sharpens the child's vision and makes him able to see just that distance, whatever it is, between the baby lying there nursing and the mother's face looking at the baby is what facilitates sharper and more correct vision. That's amazing to me.
Thank you. In lending to what you are saying, Imam Muhammad, he addresses almost exactly what you are saying. The next subject matter is taqwa has to be developed.
I'm
saying, do you think taqwa is in demand from the very beginning to be developed? If Allah gave all of us taqwa, then what's wrong with the taqwa of some of us? So how is the taqwa perfect in us and the fujuraha dependent, the wrong in us? That's stupid. If you study this thing, it's a stupid conclusion to come to, that one side of the man's soul is pure and one side of his soul is not, or one entity in his soul is pure and one entity is not. And this we see in the world is impure. I think I missed something. Yes. Taqwa is not anything but our conscience, isn't it? If my conscience is corrupt in the world, how then can we say it is really pure conscience? Of what? Conscience of God? The Christians are conscious of God? Their consciousness is not right. Taqwa is not right. It's corrupt, isn't it? They're conscious of God, but their conscience is corrupt. Conscience means pure in terms of innocence. Then Allah corrects it. I go back to Adam again. Adam was offered to have more of the world. He was put in it to become like God and to have a chance to have all of the delights of the world. That's what Adam was offered by the Satan, and he accepted the Satan seducing him. He fell victim. He was weak for that. All right. I've been informed we got 10 seconds left of broadcast time. We're at the end of the broadcast. And do you have any closing remarks, Michael, and Sister Mahasan, and anyone else that would press one on their phone? I would love to hear from you.
I'm just going to leave us with a question, right? Are we picking up the explanation of how we get 20/20 vision? I'm just going to leave it like that.
Praise be to Allah. The human being is an evolving entity.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is the evolver.
Yeah.
Allah
takes
us from one stage to the next. Even our vision, even our consciousness, Allah is Lord.
Yeah.
He nurtures it forward. Yes, ma'am. I'll stop right there.
Talking about those two parts of the soul, isn't it something that we have to have two eyes? And it's only, our vision only becomes strengthened or perfected when we try to use and focus the eyes simultaneously, see out of both of them. And that is what makes our perceptions keen, interesting, so interesting. I'm going to stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael, you have any closing statements you would like to make at this time?
Thank you. I'd like to close with the door when we're ready to close out.
Well, if you would say the dua, I have a special way of ending the broadcast that I host. It is the preview of gratitude. So if you would, my brother.
Yes, sir. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be.
Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to Allah. We thank you this evening with the greetings of peace. We leave you this evening with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God, and remain forever grateful. Allah asks a question of the whole of humanity in the Surah Al-Rahman. Allah says, "Labi'ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadiban." Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? Praise be to Allah. We've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, Seven's fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be all right,
gotta be all right,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Back to cause, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for them.
But they gotta be all right.
They gotta be all right.
They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, their friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. Allah, I want to invite the listening audience to tune in to American Muslim 360 at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the episode of MAPS, the Muslim American Power of Five, with Sister Matala Alaji Sabri, Brother Fleming El Amin, and the Honorable Cheryl Sidduth, as they engage us in a discussion on our obligation as Muslims to transform our faith into action through proactive civic engagement. That is 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon here on American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.